Welcome back to episode 3 of the Souls at Work podcast. Last time we talked about how you can turn your commute into a grounding and heart-opening experience that changes the tone of your entire day. Now we're going to see how you can keep that great feeling going with the way you set up your workspace. Do you realize that we spend about the same number of waking hours at work as we do in our homes? This means that your workspace is really a second home. Whether you have an office, a cube, or a desk, this space should still be a warm and inviting place that supports you in being your best. And if your workspace is a truck or a suitcase or you're out in the field, that's okay too. This process applies to any situation. Now, I realize that warm and inviting is not how most of us would describe our work environments. In fact, there may even be rules that prevent you from personalizing or decorating your space in any way, which totally sucks, but we will find ways to work around even the most draconian policies. Side note here, if you're in the position to remove said draconian policies at your organization, please do. I promise you'll increase employee engagement and productivity if you allow people to bring their full and authentic selves to work. I'm not saying that folks should be able to put a beanbag on top of their desk or hang a hammock from the ceiling, but people do need a little leeway to make their workspace comfortable. So back to us. The goal here is to make your workspace an ongoing touchstone for the person you want to be. That soulful, compassionate person who brings your highest self to your organization, your colleagues, and your clients. So before we get into the details, let's first do a little exploring and dreaming. You may want to refer back to the journaling exercise we did in episode 1 as well, but if you don't have it with you, that's okay too. Think about these two questions. What qualities represent your soul self or your highest self? And what activities bring you closest to your soul self? Pause this podcast now and make your list or doodle out some drawings. If you're stuck here, here are some of mine. Both Buddha and Kuan Yin statues remind me of meditation and mindfulness. There are a few nature photos that show me how abundant the universe is. Stacking stones remind me of balance and harmony, and my kitties are always a symbol of unconditional love. And I have a few items that are tied to specific and meaningful experiences for me, like a set of polished stones a dear friend and mentor gave me that represent my chakras, and a red stapler. Yes, like the one that Milton had in the movie Office Space. It reminds me to be flexible during change. This process might unfold over a few days as you think about it, and that's okay. The goal is to generate a lot of possible images or symbols that are meaningful to you. Consider this a work in progress that will change as you grow. Our next step is to consider how and where you can use these symbols in your workplace. The goal is to make sure your work area is a constant reminder of your best self, so that we have little touchstones that we see throughout the day and every day. This is where we may need to get a little creative. You may work in a place where you can easily place a few of these items on your desk and it's all good. I'm very lucky in that currently, I have a workplace that supports creative and authentic expression. So my desk has my little Buddha statue, a Zen-like contemplation box where I can doodle in sand, and my set of chakra stones. Because I can be so open, I'm happy to have these out on my desk, and it's also fun to answer questions about them when my coworkers ask. But I've not always been in such an environment. When that's the case, I get more stealth, and you may need to too. I'll switch out to nature photos, quotes, and even vague connections that only I can see, but are still deeply meaningful to me. To the average person, my desk can look plain and corporate, yet it's loaded with tons of my own personal meaning. I want to empower you to claim your right to have a workspace that represents the real you, the best you, and reminds you to be compassionate, mindful, and conscious. While your desktop is an easy starting place, it's by no means the limit. In fact, I encourage you to go beyond that flat surface of your desk, since your work also happens in various rooms and buildings, as well as on the phone, computer, and mobile devices. Consider these possibilities. The options are really endless. The background photo and screensaver on your computer. Bookmarks to videos that inspire you for when you need a little pick-me-up. Bookmarks to websites that support you. One of my favorites is deskyogi.com. They have amazing mindfulness resources, and you can even customize for how private you need to be based on your work environment. You can tape things to the edge of your screen or monitor. I have particularly meaningful photos of my family and kitties, as well as some powerful quotes. If you have a door, What's on the back of your door that you see when it's closed? That's a great space for a meaningful symbol for you. How about the drawers? I've built an entire mini sanctuary inside a drawer that no one could see but me. Put visual touchstones in your drawers that you see when you open them up. I've even taped inspirational quotes and images on the underside of my desk and drawers because it gave me a hidden sense of power. Another thing to try is to apply feng shui concepts to your workspace. You can find a good Bagua map online and set up symbols or colors that activate the different areas. This can be done so subtly that no one else would know but you, and you get to still reap the benefits of this ancient practice. Also consider your sense of smell and touch. I usually have a candle or bottle of essential oil that I can smell when I need to get grounded. Lavender is especially great if I'm feeling stressed out. And I keep a nice soft shawl at work that feels really good. It might look like I'm putting it on because I'm chilly, but sometimes I really wear it into staff meetings because I need to be wrapped in something that makes me feel protected and confident. I also put symbols in my notebooks as well as on my smartphone. My phone has images and apps that are really my secret symbols. This is good because I take these things into meetings with me so I can have them at hand in times when I might feel the most challenged to be my best. Here's one no one knows about. In my job, I do a lot of public speaking, often to very large crowds. While I don't really get nervous anymore, I always like to remind myself to be a vessel for what the crowd needs to hear, to let go and let God show up. This means I need to be willing to step away from my carefully timed presentation to go to where the souls in the room need for their highest and best good. So in my presentation bag, I keep a small stuffed animal of a barn owl. Given to me by my daughter, this image is a personal totem for me that is all about letting the wisdom of the divine lead. No matter where I go, that owl is either tucked under the podium in front of me or just off stage in my bag. As you can see, the possibilities are endless. The goal is to fill your workspace with the things that work for you. So have fun with this. These symbols should uplift you and almost feel like a talisman against bad juju. Two other things you might want to consider. I think that having something living in your workspace is nice too. An easy one is a plant. Our workspaces can often feel so industrial, but a plant can be a great symbol for thriving no matter where you are. Just be sure you pick a plant that works well indoors. Another thing I have done, and this depends on where you work, but having a pet at work is awesome. Some companies allow dogs, which is really cool, but most don't. However, I discovered the perfect little desk pet on accident when a student gave me one as a thank you gift. Adam worked for a fish store, and one day he brought me a betta fish. Bettas actually can breathe air, so they don't need complex filtration or oxygenation systems. And because their natural territory is 8 inches, they love to be in small bowls. And you can also feed them every 3 or 4 days. What I didn't expect was that they have fun little personalities. There's no question that my bettas know when I'm there, and they come over and interact with me, practically wagging their tails like a dog. I can't tell you how nice it is to have my own personal little friend at work who's always happy to see me. My final tip is to locate a space away from your workspace that you can use as a personal retreat. Sometimes the stresses or challenges of work can be overwhelming, so I think it's important that we all have a personal sanctuary to go to. This doesn't have to be fancy, but it needs to be a spot you can get to when you need it. Perhaps it's a bench outside that's quiet and away from the crowd. Or there might be a lounge in another building that speaks to you. If you can't find something nearby, walk the few blocks around your work area and see what you can find. Another business might have an open courtyard with a fountain. Or perhaps you might find a cozy corner in a coffee shop. It could be a small patch of grass under a tree or even a little art gallery. Again, it's unique to your personality in your area, but search until you find something that works for you and that you can get to easily. If you commute in your car can also be your sanctuary, especially if you already set it up using the tips we talked about in episode 2. So that's it. For me, this process has really helped me bring my higher self to work. Using symbols, quotes, and images, I've surrounded myself with reminders that make it really easy to remember who I really am, a bright and divine soul that has love to share with the world. And as I connect to that part of myself throughout the workday, I find that it's easier to see the bright and divine souls of others. We are all souls with day jobs, and seeing that has increased my sense of connection and compassion. I'd love to hear how this process is going for you. Feel free to share your experiences, photos of your new soulful workspace, or your questions and comments. Also check out my websites, soulschoolonline.com or britandriotta.com. Let's connect again with episode 4, where we will wrap up the first phase of this Souls at Work process. I'm happy to be taking this journey with you.